When Jesus won,
when Jesus won,
he washed my sins away.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Today, University of Minnesota researchers discovered that the Mediterranean diet extends the lifespan. And this is a major study. What exactly in the diet? They found something. They found one particular nutrient. They published an article in the peer-reviewed Journal of Molecular Cell. We'll find out what that one nutrient is. Also today, we'll be looking at a story that has received no media whatsoever. In fact, everything they could do to debunk it, they have, the mainstream media, and that is, who killed Seth Rich? Well, it turns out that an attorney was doing a Freedom of Information Act request with the FBI, and they were saying, we have nothing, nothing at all. Turns out that wasn't true. They have volumes of material on Rich. Why would they? Well, we'll discuss that. Also, vaccines are worse than you think. This is testimony by a mother, very compelling. And the audio is just a little difficult because it's a public hearing, but it's really good. I mean, she nails it. And these are the very people, the New York Times, Washington Post, and the pro-vaccine oligarch dismiss as, well, they're unreliable. It's just anecdotal. You got 4 million parents, you're going to say they're all delusional? No. They're the real experts, more than any pediatrician. We'll hear from one. And if time permits, why did I say yes to speak here? Malcolm Gladwell, a really interesting Google presentation. I think you'll find it of interest. We can't do the whole thing, but we'll do enough of it to get the message, because embedded in his discussion are a lot of good insights. So that's our show. And if you want to watch any of the videos, providing that there's not a copyright issue, if there is, you'll just hear the audio, but you can go to youtube.com/PRNFM and listen on the archives, because we, about 95% of all people who listen to our program download it on the archives. Our archive number is 701-719-9976, 701-799-9976, 701-719-9976. By the way, Seth Rich's is a network show, so it'll be the only one where you hear the audio, you won't see the video, but that's fine. If you want to listen live, Monday to Friday, noon to 1 Eastern Standard Time, Tuesday, 7 to 8 for the Progressive Commentary Hour, write this number down, 774-337-6068, 774-337-6068. This is a study by the Research University of Minnesota Medical School, and they wanted to know what about the Mediterranean diet really impacts aging. Here's what they found. They found out that this is a nutrient, and you can find it in many of the different items, not just one. Excuse me. You find it in grapes. You find it in blueberries. They also found that the olive oil in the Mediterranean diet can hold the key to promoting lifespan and also mitigating age-related diseases. So over the last 8 years, with the help of multiple grants from the National Institutes of Health, the researchers continued to look, and what they found was this. resveratrol, R-E-S-V-E-R-A-T-R-O-L, which has activated a certain pathway in the cells known to increase lifespan and prevent age-related diseases. However, this is just one. They also found that the fat in olive oil, another compound of the Mediterranean diet, is also able to activate that same pathway. So grapes, grape juice, olives, and olive oil, the two most important things as far as actually not just improving conditions of health, but longevity. And if you couple that with intermittent fasting, meaning set a time each day when you're going to stop eating. You can drink beverages, non-alcoholic beverages, but no food. And ideally, an early dinner and then a little later breakfast. You want about 12 hours. So if your last meal was at 7 o'clock, your first meal, breakfast, should be at 7 o'clock. That 12 hours is terrific for helping you slow down the aging process. Then, next, limit the amount of calories coming into the diet. Stay away from the meats and the butters and the pretzels and the French fries. They're loaded with fat, unhealthy fat, trans fats, arachidonic acid fats, and empty calories. So limiting caloric intake, exercising, consuming olive oil and grapes, that's the ticket according to this study published in the very respected Cell Biology. From IMT School of Advanced Studies in Italy, they found that the practice of meditation leaves positive changes in the brain. That's right. It's associated with a reduction of perceived stress with specific cerebral changes. So quite literally, how you're breathing, how you're thinking, what your focus is, correlates with changing your brain for the better. And this appeared in Brain and Cognition, the peer-reviewed journal. The best, of course, was Transcendental Meditation, TM, but other forms of meditation also are important. Slowing it down, relaxing your body, breathing deeper, and for 40 minutes a day, you can do 20 more minutes in the morning, 20 minutes in the late afternoon or early evening, and that can make a big difference. All right, so meditation changes the brain in a positive way, helps you de-stress, better thinking, better cognition. Now, a lot of people take curcumin, C-U-R-C-U-M-I-N, and green tea. Not everyone takes them together. However, from the Shahu College of Pharmacy and Research in India, published an article in the British Medical Complementary Medicine and Therapies, show that taking them together, green tea and turmeric together, or curcumin, which comes from curcumin, it can help regulate your blood sugar. It can help lower your cholesterol. It helps relieve conditions of arthritis and Alzheimer's. How about that? That's good information that people can use. Two simple things. And by the way, it wasn't the only study to find this out. There was also research at the University of Chicago that showed that EGCG, those are the chemicals in green tea, helped inhibit the growth of cancer cells. So, and it helped lower overall cholesterol and helps treat hyperlipidemia. So good to go there. If you have inflammation and you live in South America, especially Brazil, you've probably used it, Aztec marigolds. They're a very vibrant flower, but they can protect against all forms of inflammation in the body. So that's something good. And this was shown in several studies, is considered a natural remedy for digestive problems in South America. Aztec marigold extracts are used today to add color and flavor to foods, but a recent study by researchers at the university down in Brazil found that those are just a few of the things they do. This was published in Nutrition Research. It decreased the severity of ulcerative colitis. That's important. And it reduces oxidative stress. And by reducing ulcerative colitis, an inflammatory bowel disease that causes ulcers in the digestive tract, that can help an awful lot of people from suffering. And so, something new. Also, for those on a high-protein diet, you're taking in an awful lot of iron. And there's several types of iron, ferric fumarate and ferrous fumarate. One comes from vegetables, and it is not bad for the heart. The other coming from animal protein is. But now from University College London, published in the Journal of Neurology, Neurosurgery, and Psychiatry, it shows with MRI techniques, they detected iron deposits in different brain regions, tracking declines in thinking, memory, and movement in people with Parkinson's disease. So one more reason why, if you have Parkinsonian or Parkinson's conditions, you should be on a healthy plant-based diet, controlling your iron intake. And none of the hospitals in the United States have any knowledge about nutrition. It's beyond bad. I mean, you go in for cancer, or you just had a stroke, and breakfast is bacon and eggs and coffee, the very things that can cause that stroke. It's just insane. Years ago, I had a friend who was one of the most joyful married people to be around. No one ever saw him work. He was always hanging out and waiting for the next party. He was funny. He was a character. But he smoked a lot of marijuana. And he also, over a period of time, because I was his friend for 40 years, he became more and more paranoid. So one day, he was in New York City, and I said, come by the Institute. I want to show you some stuff. Now, this is before computers, so I had to literally go to Flower Fifth Avenue Hospital. You turn in these little slips. They go to the archives. They get the magazines. You go through and you flag the magazines, and then they photocopy them for 5 cents a page back then, and that's how you got your studies. It took quite a lot to get a lot of research. And I handed him about 40 studies showing the impact of smoking marijuana. And I said, understand, I believe it should be legal, and I believe that there are medicinal properties within the cannabinoid family, but smoking it is more dangerous than smoking cigarettes. He poo-hooed it. All my friends did, said it was stupid, not true. Everybody was happy. Well, I saw the downside. I saw three people I knew personally develop paranoid delusional psychoses and virtually became unresponsive to being able to work in any environment, relate with family members. It was really bad. And we conflate two issues. Let's separate them. The right of a person to have freedom of choice, even when the choice is wrong. The right to eat what you want. So if you want to eat something that's unhealthy, you should have that right. But also you should have the right to know the truth about what it is you're doing. So then you're intentionally aware or you're intentionally negligent of not knowing. I don't want to know, someone said. Just in the environment with coronavirus, where it can live up to 9 days out of the human body. And I was watching someone in a very crowded market, and they had samples. First, I saw the person handing out the samples had no gloves on, no hat on, and they were putting stuff out with their hand, little chips that people could take the chip and dip it into this thing. I mentioned to the person, I said, did you think about what's on your hands that you could be putting on the chip that then someone uses and puts in their body? No, nothing on my hands. I washed them this morning. Yeah. Was that before you went out and handled your doorknob in your car, your steering wheel? Have you ever pulled up to a stoplight and looked at the people around you where their fingers are while they're waiting at a stoplight? Just about every orifice in the body that can stick something in, they have it at a stoplight like it's normal. And that's especially true for people with beards, mustaches. They're stroking it. My goodness, think how many times you stroke it and touch your mouth, touch your nose, touch your eyes. All three entry points for viruses and bacteria, especially airborne. But there was some fresh fruit out at one of the fruit tables, and there was some strawberries. So a woman picks up a strawberry and eats it. Okay, fine. Not a big deal. But they weren't washed. And it takes generally 24 separate hands to touch a food from the time it's harvested till the time you eat it. And it's not washed. So everything that's on those unclean hands is now on that, just like your money. You realize how many bacteria and viruses are on every dollar bill. Now, it's not to make a person paranoid, but in the current context of what we're seeing, yeah, you should be conscious. In any case, we have a hard time with that. We like to believe that somehow we're immune. You're not. You either have an immune system strong enough that it can create its own antibodies, and if you've grown up healthily, working outside, playing outside, being exposed to a lot of different bacteria and viruses, then you will have a much stronger immune system if you also do everything else necessary to strengthen and feed the immune system. So yes, you'll come up with people. People would ask me all the time at the Tri-State Healing Center. I'd be sitting there holding no gloves, holding someone's hand who had full-blown AIDS. And they'd say, what are you doing? You can't catch AIDS, you know, from holding someone's hand. That's just a myth. And that was correct. It was a myth. But people went to great lengths not to have anything to do with touching a person with AIDS. And that was just unfortunate because you could only imagine how the person who had AIDS felt being a pariah. But we live with the things that are comfortable to us, including our false impressions. So if you think that you should eat a fruit or vegetable without first washing it, think again. 2 weeks ago, people from China were on a cruise ship along with people from other parts of the world, including the United States. And once the captain understood that the coronavirus was active, instead of asking people to stay in their cabins and asking the staff to wear disposable gloves and real masks, not these drugstore masks that don't do diddly squat, they didn't. So for the first 3 days, there was no quarantining at all. People dancing, and you think of all the things you touch when you're in line going to get food on a cruise ship. You're exposed to pathogens because these are sealed rooms, which means you get 1,000, 1,500 people in a theater. They're laughing, coughing. Everyone in that room is exposed. So first they said there was no exposure. Then there was 10 exposures. Turns out there were over 400 exposures. And the crew, even when the captain knew that, and this was in a Japanese port, there were over 1,000 crew, frequently four to a little tiny room. If you've ever seen the crew quarters on these ships, it's just deplorable. They're in the most cramped conditions. And even when they came down coughing with fever and dizziness, they didn't quarantine them. So the ones who were in the room frequently didn't have masks. They went right in and prepared food. In fact, one of the top chefs was found to have also been infected. But then, the night they were going into port, there was a big dance. Everybody was... And then they let them go without having proper tests. That little thing they do where they put a heat register up to your head, that's notoriously inaccurate. But also, there's a latent period. You wouldn't necessarily show anything on that during the 2 weeks that you're becoming infected. It's just like cancer. You might take 30 years before your cancer is large enough to actually be measurable on a sonogram or on a mammogram or an x-ray. They didn't wait. Then a group of them were flown back to the United States with people who were not infected. Oh, they put a piece of plastic up at the back of the plane, as if that's going to prevent them what happened when they went into the plane. These are just supercilious notions. The United States government could have had a plane to itself where only infected people were put on, brought back, and put into quarantine. They had people in, going door to door who didn't even have masks on, who were part of the medical team. And they came down also with coronavirus. So just letting you know that if before you get too haphazard, just remember every concert, every movie theater, every subway, every elevator has bacteria and viruses in it. If you're strong in your immune system and you're cautious, you'll be able to handle that. But 95% of people are not. Just remember that. It's just like you can drive very safely. You're not the problem. That's why you should drive defensively. It's the person who's going to text, drive, and come into your lane. So, here's this story, and here's how it ties in. This is from Duke University. A man's marijuana use, that's just smoking marijuana, appears to alter sperm prior to mating, causing offspring to develop distinct abnormalities in the area of the brain that help govern learning, memory, reward, and mood. How about that? So, think of the people who were heavy users of marijuana not realizing that the different chemicals are embedded and alter the sperm, which then alters the DNA in the developing child. This was published in the Journal of Toxicological Sciences by the head of the Department of Pharmacology and Cancer Biology at Duke, the senior author of the study. So what I was observing back then, what I told my friend, is take a look. And he just dismissed it. Well, we shouldn't. It's one thing to say it should be allowed and legal. It's another thing I agree with, expunge all the records of anyone ever convicted for these usage so they can have a normal life without being stigmatized. Yes, that's a humanistic principle. But also, there's a difference between using the cannabinoids or the oils, which are non-psychoreactive, but can help you with brain cancer, lung cancer, seizures, autism. That is all supported by the medical literature. But smoking marijuana, you're doing a lot of damage. And I have all the studies on it. Because I created the studies to give my friends, but they didn't pay attention. You rarely do they. From the Food and Drug Administration comes a study that chemicals in regular sunscreen can accumulate in your blood over time. And that's not good, because it can really play havoc. This was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. Because these chemicals can cause cancer, they can alter the mitochondria, your energy factories, they can impact your hormone levels. So, not good. And finally, from Washington University School of Medicine, comes a study that 2 servings of yogurt per week reduces your risk of precancerous bowel growths in men. These are adenomas. Now, I don't think it's because of the dairy. I think it's because of the probiotics. I think they got this, they got half of the study right, but they got half of it wrong. And they were examining 32,600 doctors and 55,000 nurses and from 1986 to 2012. It's a really interesting study, 26-year study. And they said it was the lactobacillus bulgaricus. You can get that and put it into coconut yogurt, rice yogurt, oat yogurt. You do not have to have dairy yogurt and get the same good outcome. And one little final thing from the University of South Florida. Activities for your brain's health. It's the variety that counts. We need variety. Now, we're going to suffer cognitive decline if we don't make the right choices as we age beyond the age of 27. We're aging. But a lot of studies have shown that both physical and cognitive activity correlate with improved cognitive performance. Now, on the other side of that, There's a lot of good research demonstrating that individuals who spend long periods of time passively at your computer, on cell phones, watching television, sitting, these are not good, and they throw your cognition into steep decline. So be proactive. Do things like read a book out loud and then discuss it. Listen to classical music and discuss it. Don't just be passive. This was published in the Journal of Gerontology, Psychology, Sciences, and Social Sciences. So spend time with children. Engage in more leisure activity that requires some challenges. Formally volunteer for things. Keep active. These are some things that can help. I'm Gary Nall. We are 25 minutes into our program. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to go directly to vaccines worse than you think. Please stay with us.
I just highlight here one of the first articles. The data indicate the systemic presence of partially particle-associated retroviral reverse transcriptase in attenuated live virus vaccines. That was 1996. Systemic presence, that means they found in all the vaccines, not just in some. There's some of the papers down here, and I want to highlight the first two of this are these two groups of children that were compared, that I mentioned before, that shows a combined incidence of 14 times more severe allergies. You cannot Google this one. I get into that in a moment, because Google is firmly in the hands of the people that are organizing the geoengineering and the chemtrails and are pushing the glyphosate on the fields. There is one hand behind all that, here's a beautiful author who's local, Teresa Deischer. I don't know if she's in the room or not, but she should be. She's absolutely brilliant. And here is the beautiful article she wrote on the relationship between vaccines and the way they're manufactured and autism. So I'm personally not against vaccine. Vaccines are abused right now in the purpose of something else. There's absolutely no question. So here's some of her publications that shows the incidence of autism in relationship to the introduction of the different vaccines. And you see these funny upward bends when a new vaccine was introduced. And so, now, skipping forward to came out 2 years ago, the DNA issue. I mentioned that the human fetal DNA is used to grow the vaccines on, and there is absolutely no question that by inserting the foreign DNA into the body, that triggers autoimmunity later on with a delay of 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever it is. That's why it's very difficult to also prove the connection between a particular vaccine and the incidence of autism, But the fact that the Amish population that doesn't vaccinate has virtually zero rate of autism suggests a lot, that you don't have to be intelligent to make that link. So this is a fantastic study done by somebody locally. This is the same Mrs. Deischer. I wish I would meet her at some point, but she should be part of this group.
She is.
She is? Okay. So I'm just showing the two latest study. One is actually in Nature, which is one of the highest ranked medical journals. on the study that we heard about earlier from Tom, on the Infanrix Hexa, that's the vaccine, where they actually didn't find the antigens against the vaccine in there at all, just the contaminants. Yeah. So what's the purpose of putting contaminants in you without the actual vaccine? Yeah. That's I put a question here. I'm a scientist, so I'm wondering, I'm looking at those data and saying, a good study. I went forth and back and kind of looked at the incredible. They did the right procedures, couldn't find the actual antigens in there. And so the other one, the Corveva study from Italy, fantastic study. The first study that she did looked at the contaminants and found radioactive uranium, plutonium in there. And they found, things you let in there, glyphosate, as I said, human fetal DNA, and retroviruses. You know, that sort of has become my passion because I think that is has changed the life of many of my autistic children when we treat them for the retroviruses, you know. And it's a long story with that, that the only lab in the U.S. that could actually, where we could send blood to, that gave us a diagnosis, was violently shut down. That's documented in the book called Plague. That's a must read for most of you. Yeah, Judy Mikovits, who was the leading researcher that we were in contact with, where we could just send the blood of the autistic kids and people with Alzheimer's, also people with, when people start having complaints, their brain not working right, like some of you know, you have that. We sent their blood in and pretty much all of them were positive for retroviruses. So the way the government dealt with it, well, let's shut down the lab so there's no more problem. That's a very German solution, really, to problems. So down, just look at the sentence down here from this study. Vaccines manufactured in human fetal cell lines contain unacceptably high levels of fetal DNA fragment contaminants. So how about being a vegan, getting a vaccine with human DNA in it? Or how about even just being a Christian and getting a vaccine, you know, with human DNA in it? You know, how about if you're against abortions and you actually get the DNA from aborted fetuses? Shouldn't you speak up?
Bring it back. So that was one video. The woman testifying is coming up in a moment. But let's just learn something. This is a very comprehensive analysis that he did over a period of over 2 hours. I just took one little segment. But you're getting DNA foreign to your body, and frequently injected into a child that has not yet developed their own immune system. Therefore, the epigenetic coding of trauma, of disease, of anything that's negative is in that DNA that you're now injecting into a child. Now, with the science, with thousands of papers published in the peer-reviewed literature on epigenetics that we now know, but no one wants to talk about it, that what you inject into a child before it's developed its own capacity to self-regulate is now becoming regulating. And that means that you could be having hundreds, thousands of different microorganisms in your body that have nothing to do with what was in the parent's DNA. And we're not told this. Now, there's no science to show that it's safe. None. No one has done any long-term studies, not one exists, showing what happens when you put retroviruses into a newborn baby. None. But you heard him say that you're seeing all these illnesses showing up with retrovirus capacities, plus glyphosate, the weed killer. So when they say your vaccines are safe and effective, they are lying. Out and out, just lying. That simple. Okay? That's why we have to keep questioning it. Now, before we go to this, this is Brooke Jordan's powerful testimony in Connecticut recently, just on the 19th, last week. I want to read this. This is from Reuters. Now, think back 2 years ago. Why? What happened 2 years ago? 2 years ago, I got a call from a very famous doctor, a good person, a person who's devoted their entire adult life to helping overcome disease. And this person said, I just read what they wrote about me on Facebook. I've sent corrections. They get rejected. In fact, if anything, now I can't change anything. And I said, why not? Well, because they don't allow you to. But I'm not the only one, this person says. My other friends are also condemned, and they're all in alternative or complementary medicine. Okay. We did our own research, and we found that what this person was saying was absolutely correct. That's when I began to do an in-depth investigative report. To date, as of tomorrow, we will have published 70, that's 70 articles or letters about Wikipedia and how it is not what it says on any level. And we have found that the entire field, tens of thousands of therapists, I'm talking about some of the finest therapists in America, plus tens of millions of their patients, over 100,000 studies in the peer-reviewed medical literature, PubMed. All of this is completely denigrated by Wikipedia. And then who are they? And then I just did an important commentary on Friday you should download about eugenics and Wikipedia and that special mindset they believe that they are privileged and have the power because they know they can't be sued. So we've been asking you to become involved by sending the articles to your legislators and asking for congressional hearings where the people who are outstanding, we're talking about top-of-the-line scientists like Rupert Sheldrake and doctors like Deepak Chopra and others, to be able to come forward and show how Wikipedia is not what it pretends to be, and it can vilify you indefinitely, in perpetuity, and you can't do a damn thing about it. Reuters today, should Facebook, Google be liable for user posts? U.S. Attorney General William Barr questioned whether Facebook, Google, and other major online platforms still need the immunity from legal liability that has prevented them from being sued over material their users post. That would include Wikipedia. Quote, no longer are tech companies the underdog upstarts. They become titans, Barr said in a public meeting held by the Justice Department to examine the future of Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act. Quote, given this changing technological landscape, valid questions have been raised about whether Section 230's broad immunity is necessary, at least in its current form. Section 230 says online companies such as Facebook, etc., Alphabet, Google, Twitter, cannot be treated as the publisher or speaker of information they provide. This largely exempts them from liability involving content posted by users, although they can be held liable for content that violates criminal or intellectual property laws. Now, then it goes on. Both Democrats and Republicans are concerned about this because they've seen what Google, Facebook have morphed into, censoring. For example, they censor any and every article that challenges vaccine safety and efficacy and actively promotes that. And then the people that come out to really do the brutal hit on people to try to disgrace them, that's Wikipedia. We have found out and proven that Wikipedia creates content, that Wikipedia uses content that they know or should know is biased from the beginning, which goes against their own bylaws, that they do so only to those that represent anything that challenges the establishment. If you challenge Big Pharma, if you challenge the banking, the major industries, then you're going to get attacked by Wikipedia. So they're creating content, and we believe they're in violation of their IRS nonprofit status. It is now time for you to go to prn.fm. We have Wicked Wikipedia. We have all 70 articles and letters, and send those to William Barr, the Justice Department. Send them to the Inspector General, the Internal Revenue Service. Send them to your legislators saying that Wikipedia is more aggressive in a negative way against its own charter than even Google or Facebook, and should be held accountable. All we're asking for, take away the liability indemnification clause. So, like anywhere else in the world, if you write something about someone's not true, if you say something about someone's not true, you can be sued for libel or slander, and then it's up to the courts and the jury to determine the truth. But at least you have that opportunity to clear your name. With Wikipedia, you have no opportunity to clear your name, ever, by people who have no background in the field that they're condemning someone for. You know, one of my friends graduated from Harvard, top of his class. Another graduated from Princeton, number one in his class. They were both attacked. And yet all their expertise, everything about them, none of it was allowed because someone that is anonymous, that has no background in the field, had the right to condemn them. This reminds me of Robespierrean courts in 1792. Boy, did that not work out well. So this is what we have. So reach out today. It's all there for you. Send the letters, send the articles to your legislator, and all you're doing is you're requesting that they take away the ability of these major platforms from being sued for libel. We shouldn't have two types of justice, one for Google, Facebook, Twitter, and Wikipedia, and one for the rest of us. Because if any of us said what everything has been said on Wikipedia involving alternative health, you'd be sued into oblivion. So why should we be held accountable for monitoring our freedom of speech and they can do anything they want? This is absurd. And it's dangerous. So that's what I suggest you do. Call them, send it to them in a polite way. And let's see if we can't, with the size of this audience, let's say if we can't at least make them accountable. All right? Go to prn.fm. They're all there, all documented, and all have been independently vetted by scholars, so everything is accurate, fully footnoted, and legally vetted by not one but three different lawyers on staff. Your thoughts. Should these major behemoth platforms like Google, Facebook, Twitter, and Wikipedia be allowed to create content to slander, libel, denigrate, or block and expunge truth and only serve their own ideological, economic, and political agendas with impunity? Because that's what has happened up to this point. Or should they be held accountable and therefore take away that one provision in that act? Similarly, should the vaccine industry have its provision that was under Ronald Reagan back in 1986, should it have that revoked, the right to make a vaccine, even a dangerous, toxic, deadly vaccine, and nobody can sue them? Should we retain the right to sue these manufacturers for the defective products that they create, and then we wouldn't have people in trauma? I had a phone call, and it was from a policymaker. We're talking about a major policymaker in the United States. And I said, "Why are you calling me?" This person said, "Because I'm faced with what every parent is faced with today, giving my child all these vaccines, including the Gardasil vaccine, where they can't go to school. And this was not an issue I was interested in, even thought about, knew much about, until it was my kid." Now, I won't tell you what exchange over the next 2 minutes, but I'm sure the person thought twice, maybe it wasn't such a good idea I got on the phone with Gary, because I did not hold back my contempt for that person and others who are policymakers and feel that somehow the rich and the powerful, those who make the policy for the rest of us, should be held to a different standard. And I let him know that. And then I gave him some solutions. And I said, if you really want to do something, use your position of power so we can have a national movement unifying all the vaccine-injured people to come to Washington this coming summer in August in front of the U.S. Senate and the House and demand, revoke this. And I said, now I'm writing right now a major article, a really very deep article showing you that everything about that indemnification in 1986 was a fraud. The people behind it, the people who were paid to do it, the jobs that were waiting, you talk about pay for play, the jobs waiting for the people who promoted it, and then they left Congress and went right over with big paying jobs in the pharmaceutical industry. I said, we have all the proof that the vaccine industry should be held accountable and not given a free ticket. Otherwise, you're going to have next adults with mandatory vaccines is coming. It's already in the works. And what are you going to do if you're listening right now? What are you going to do if you didn't pay attention when the children were being vaccinated because you didn't have children? And now they knock on your door. And the consequences of not being vaccinated is that you can't travel. You can't go into certain buildings. What would you do then? Are you going to yell and say, do you realize what I can't do? Well, where were you when they came to your neighbor? You hid? It's time for us not to hide from anything. Be responsible. Your thoughts, 888-874-4888. Talk back, 888-874-4888. Two separate issues. Call in. I'd like to hear what you have to say. While you're thinking about calling in, we're going to go to this clip. And this is of Brooke Jordan speaking before the Connecticut hearings on mandatory vaccines.
It's Brooke here. I've been here since 7:30 this morning. I drove down here from upstate New York because I am a clear picture of what you're looking at if you decide to pass this bill. And I have to tell you that for my family, it has been devastating. I've heard a lot of people sit up here and talk about if you pass the bill, they're going to move or they're going to choose to homeschool or whatever. Well, my family couldn't afford to move. And as a result of that, I now have three children. When they were kicked out of school, they were 13, 10, and 5. But we've had two birthdays, so they're 14, 11, and 5 now. So I have three children whom my husband and I leave home every day because we have to go to work because we can't afford to live off of one income. And my 14-year-old is responsible for the education of her younger siblings while she's trying to get her own education. And it's not right and it's not fair. And I had legislators that told me prior to the passing of the bill, you know, your kids will be able to get medical exemptions based on the issues that they had. I told them, no, they're not going to be able to get medical exemptions in New York State because I already know that doctors won't even see my children. They don't care why they're unvaccinated. They don't care that they have health issues. They don't care that we have morals and values. And what kind of country do we want without morals and values that are based on people's religious principles? I sat here and I listened to your commissioner talk about not wanting to drag up the past. Well, how are we unburying the bones of segregation and discrimination? It's not right. I took my children to the African American Museum over the summer, and my daughter looked at the pictures because they passed the bill in June. And my daughter looked at the pictures and she said, Mom, how is this any different? I spent my life telling my kids that your education is important because people fought and they died for your right to have an education. For them to now be denied an education, and then on top of it, to add insult to injury. I don't know which one of you it was who asked about the process of them being kicked out of school and being removed. It was devastating, and I now have an open CPS case because I wanted to fight for my children to be able to get an education. So instead of the school district agreeing to meet with me, they called CPS and filed educational neglect charges against me. So we're talking about delicate situation. You don't know each individual's family's case, and you can't know it until it happens. And then you have people sitting in the seat like mine. I have a sister-in-law who has my niece. My sister-in-law's blind. My niece is home now being educated by my blind sister-in-law who lost her son last year to cancer. So this is what it looks like on the other side of passing this bill. There has to be another way. And I really hope somebody asks me about what happened as far as the medical exemptions go.
Thank you very much. Are there questions or comments?
Bring it back. Just one parent. One parent. And did you notice how quickly now doctors in hospitals, if a parent says, I don't want my newborn baby to get hepatitis B shot because the mother doesn't have hepatitis, there's no way in the world that child could get hepatitis B. And because it's on a routine, the doctors, the nurses, like robots, without brains, without conscience, without heart, without sensitivity, without feelings, without caring, without giving a damn, they'll then turn that parent who has intentionally educated themselves about a vitamin K shot and a hepatitis B shot right at birth, now they are turned over to Child Protective Services, an utterly corrupt cesspool of abuse, of taking children from parents who are conscientious and putting them into foster care where there's massive sexual abuse, massive, massive corruption. I think all of Child Protective Services should be abolished and a whole new system created to take its place because it doesn't get any lower on the rung of human depravity than working within Child Protective Services. And we're going to be doing a documentary on this. I have a lot of research to prove this. But the legislators, do you think any of these legislators care about you? Especially New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut legislators, California legislators. Do you realize how easy these people can be bought? You can buy a legislator cheaper than you can buy, a ham sandwich. They are cheap. I just can't stand them. The difference is, I will tell you, I can't stand politicians. I can't stand people who feel that by some right they should have control over our lives when they can't show that they're an example of living a life that we should all be motivated by. Just the opposite is frequently true. For those of you who were as stunned as I was by Chris Matthews equating Bernie Sanders and his people like Nazis, that should have been grounds for his firing. But because it's the woke culture of identity politics on steroids, he'll just be promoted. That's unfortunate. Why do you think they're against Sanders? Let me give you just a couple realistic reasons why they're against Sanders. Because Sanders represents something they cannot control. He will get rid of the student debt. He will not entertain new wars. He has called out that he won't speak before APEC, the American legislative groups that lobby on behalf of Israel. He actually said something in favor of the Palestinian people's right and that they're an apartheid state, something the other members of Congress have been too cowardly to do. So when you realize that the Clintons, the Obamas, they had no trouble with apartheid. They had no trouble working with Wall Street, bailing out the banks, but not the average person, destroying unions, selling illegal guns, destabilizing seven different countries, starting seven different wars, and being held accountable. Not one single sentence held them accountable in the New York Times or the other liberal publications that are corporate liberal, that promote neoliberalism. And then you have their favorite candidate, Joe Biden. By any measure, Joe Biden should not be voted to any position of authority because his entire career has been a train wreck of siding with the special interest groups. And that's unfortunate. You think that we would be smarter by taking our time to look at what we're actually getting in these candidates. He supported the wars in Iraq. He supported the Patriot Act. He supported the National Defense Authorization Act, which takes away habeas corpus. He supported asset forfeiture. He supported the credit card companies so you could not easily file bankruptcy. And he supported the amendment that prevented you from getting out of your student debt by filing bankruptcy. He was on the side of the credit card companies. He was on the side of private prison system. He, for 40 years, he wanted to cut Social Security, which is not an entitlement. We alone, the government doesn't pay a penny into Social Security. We do throughout our lifetime savings. So just remember, that's who the establishment wanted. They didn't want Sanders because they knew that he has more progressive values than Clinton's or Obama's, the other people who are just shills for the special interest groups and the oligarchs. And the last person they'd want is Tulsi Gabbard because of she is even more progressive than Sanders. And yet, we're still not getting it. And we should. There's a price to pay if we don't. I'm Gary Noll. Thank you all for listening, and have a nice day.